Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle. I'm introducing you to Greg Ford, my amazing colleague. You should be my co-host on the network, by the way. I do so many shows with you. When I'm not available, you should be doing the interviews. How's that?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, okay. You should be my You should be my radio twin. How's that?
Okay, that's good.
Now, by the way, I got to make an announcement here as we get started here, an hour or two on February 13th. I'm 2 days away from my DOA day. People tell your birthday. They say, no. I was not born. I was DOA. And God resurrected me 4 times and almost the 5th time here in December when I came down with a serious infection. Because the devil says, I got to shut up this guy, Deagle. But you know what? Deagle was born without a shut-up gene. You know that, right?
Yes, I do know that.
Right? Now, I do let you speak. Like on Friday, you and Barbara Honecker spoke for an additional 2 hours, and I even left the room and went and had my bio breaks while you guys are talking.
Yes.
So when people say I don't give you a chance, look, I may go on rants, but you're going to get plenty of time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave on a bio break right now, and I want you to tell some of your latest things now. I think either you went online or you're going to go to NPR today. Is that right?
That was yesterday.
So you're going to tell them. Why don't you tell them about the NPR story when I get back and just give it a little more rendition about all the stuff you're doing, and I'll be back in 2 minutes. I got your picture of your website, of your book. If you don't have this book yet, people, it's naughty, naughty, naughty. You have to have your Bible and this book, Midnight and Samara. Should get the book by Susan Lindauer, Extreme Prejudice. She has a book by Janice Karpinski, who, by the way, is still pretty nervous about having me on my show. I talked to her, and she said, I got to research you. I said, look, if you go in the sewer net, you're going to find out that everybody thinks either I'm the Antichrist, I'm a psychotic, I'm a deep state agent, I'm the devil himself, some of these people think I am, or I'm just nuts, because I'm a conspiracy theorist who got contacted by the Pindar. You need to realize, someone like me only comes along every so many centuries. I'm not a normal person. The fact is, though, I'm a flesh and blood brother and, of you out there, and you have to understand, I am real. I'm a real person. I am going to have a day when I have an exit routine where I'm going to be there with the Lord for eternity. But in the meantime, I'm still here talking, and I am real. Just like you're real, and you got resurrected by God after you had a near-death experience and renditioned, and you recovered from a stroke where you lost the ability to speak. So I'm going to let you talk for a couple minutes. I'll be right back. Tell us what happened at NPR, and I'll be back in 2 minutes, okay?
Okay, I'll give it a shot. Okay.
You're now, guess what? I just anointed you as the host of the program right now. You're my host.
That's all. Okay.
You're running the show. It's your show right now. I'll be right back.
Well, if I have half a chance, I'll get something interesting out there.
I'm not going to interrupt you because I'm gone, so you go ahead.
All right, thank you. All right. Now, and of course, I'm stepping in for the bio break prone Dr. Deagle, Bill Deagle, and yesterday I would like to tell all the listeners, Bill Deagle's listeners, of what happened on my interview with NPR, and all I can say, and if I say something that is offensive or somebody takes exception to it, too bad. Okay, I've already paid my price in health and time, and plus the harassment that I've received from our government. Okay, so let me see. Yesterday started out with my interview on NPR, and it went something like this. The day before, as I related to the people at NPR, the day before I had breakfast with a journalist from Los Angeles who was busy being freaked out about what had happened in her life, all right? And it came to something like this. It appears that, yes, virtually from day one, she's been attacked, harassed, threatened, okay, including family members. Two of her family members have been murdered, all right? And it relates to Israel, 9/11, and Israel, okay? No, I'm not anti-Semitic. Okay, but I am anti-Israel, all right? And the reason why, because as I explained yesterday, was something like this, is that, yes, indeed, as I learned the hard way, okay, learned from my briefings from our government agencies, that, yes, there was going to be an attack, okay, on 9/11, Okay, and at that time, they weren't specific as to the day. This was July of 2000. Okay, so they didn't realize within the next 18 months that there was going to be an attack and what day. But it turns out that yes, it was indeed on September 11th, 2001. All right, and so I gave my story. And all I can say is that right now, as far as the United States of America goes, we should be dropping the name of the Republican Party as a political party, okay? The Republican Party, and it should be renamed AIPAC, all right? AIPAC, and if you don't like it, too bad, all
okay.
right?
Okay, because I heard you on a real, you sound like Deagle. I mean, I'm sure we're... We're twin separated birds. Tell me about AIPAC. Tell me what you said.
AIPAC, as I pointed out, it stands for American Israel Political Action Committee.
Oh, you got to get the name correctly. Let me make you laugh a little bit in a dark humor. I refer to it, and I have Hebrew and Jewish blood, so you can't say I'm anti-Semitic. So I heard this when I interviewed on the 9th of January. Barbara Honecker and YouTube threatened to ban me in my site for being anti-Semitic or inciting violence. That's like calling a black person against blacks. It's sickening and stupid. These people are dense. And we didn't threaten anybody, by the way. I call Israel what it should be called, run by Khazars and globalists and CFR members. For example, Bibi Netanyahu has been a member of CFR for 3 decades plus. He's going for his 5th term, and the treaty he's got drewed up by Donald Trump's son-in-law, wizard Jared Kushner at 666 Wilshire, is the abomination of desolation, giving territory to Muslims, which are, by the way, genetically ancient Hebrews. And the people running Israel are the people that attacked the caravan of my great-great-grandfather, and his wife and his daughter walked to China twice a year. Their family owned the largest caravan from Damascus, Syria. I'm their descendant. I'm a descendant from the king of the Medes, and my ancestor is Moses' ancestor, that was in the Sanhedrin with Joseph Mayer of Bethlehem. And I can tell you right now, they need to call the state of Israel. It's a real hell. It's a real hell. Do you like that?
Very good. Very catchy.
And you have to understand, they control every one of our intel agencies in our government. AIPAC controls all the Congress critters. I don't refer to them as Congress women and men. I refer to them as Congress critters. Do you like that?
Yes, I like it.
Congress critters. Just like if you go to the zoo and you have these animals that are caged in there so they won't bite you. And the corrupt politicians, they make more money than the highest paid prostitutes in District of Criminals or anywhere around the world. These politicians spend more time acquiring money by doing dirty deals. That's why when we think they're going after Biden and his son Hunter, they're not an anomaly. There's a standard of operation. Right?
Yes.
They're not an anomaly. Everybody is doing exactly what Hunter Biden and Don Biden are doing. That's why they can go in with a salary of 60 or 70,000 and come up with tens of millions. Duh. Do you know how to add and subtract people? So when you talk about AIPAC and these other people, not surprising. So please continue. I want to hear what you said on NPR. What did they say? Were they brave enough? And as I say, I should play the song. I had it on my bumper, but my wife didn't like it when I was over at Genesis 2 years ago. So I had to pull Sarah Bareilles' song, I Want to See You Be Brave. Most people aren't brave enough to call into my show live, which right now they can't do, but I will be when I'm back at Genesis because I got a super good contract with my strong arm to get what I wanted. I couldn't get a year ago. And I'm now broadcasting, and my audience has increased 100-fold because it's broadcast live on live stream to YouTube, Vimeo, YouTube, and Facebook, live anywhere in the world, and it's all free on every platform on the planet. And I release more classified information by geniuses and brave patriots and Christian prophets and apostles like you, Greg Ford, than any other individual in human history. I am the modern incarnation of the spirit of Moshe, my ancestor. 3,000 years ago was designated by the adopted daughter of the king of the pharaohs. His name Moses means he was supposed to be the designated next pharaoh, but he killed an Egyptian because he found out from his mother his people were the Hebrews. And when he killed a guard that was persecuting Hebrews, he left for the 40 years to the land of Midian, and God called him back audibly and told him to go back and release his people. I'm here to release the people of earth to become a galactic civilization and to subserve themselves and become the queen of the heavens. I am here to bring you to the desert of the cosmos and to populate countless worlds with the word and the actions and the will of the Most High God, not doing good and evil, but doing only the good of the Creator God. We are, as Donald Trump did, and his name was Apollyon Rising, that's his Masonic name, he's there to repopulate and re-terraform Mars. And what we have right now is a situation where they renditioned you because they didn't want you to release the truth that America does both good and evil. It was freaking evil for them to bring weapons of mass destruction, nerve gas to kill Iranians, freaking evil to bring neutron weapons, freaking evil to have Colin Bowell, I call him, not Colin Powell, because his name was changed from a P to a B because he's full of moose poop, because the most vile poop in the world is not horse manure, it's moose manure. And that's what this man was full of, lying to us that we had weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, Saddam Hussein was a CIA operative. He was recruited by George Bush Sr. in 1958. So what did you say to NPR? Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Now, I did want to mention, and you didn't have a chance to get this from Barbara Honegger, is that she is considered one of the most knowledgeable people on Egyptology. And unlike virtually anybody who goes to Egypt, she was personally escorted down underground into the tomb of Akhenaten. Right. All right, and no one has been down to the tomb of Akhenaten except for Barbara.
Right.
And Barbara and Zawi Hawass, Dr. Hawass.
Right.
And he invited her because she actually knew enough to ask him at the diplomatic dinner two nights before about the tomb of Akhenaten and where it was.
And do you know why that's important, that tomb? Who do you think Akhenaten is?
Well, there's all kinds of conjecture about who Akhenaten is, but I believe Akhenaten is the father of Thutmose.
Right.
And you need to mention that to
Thutmose is actually known as Thutmoses. Did you know that?
Right, exactly.
And then
right.
What do you think Moses, when you get a name by, like, and you're a Norwegian or Danish and you get the name Johnson, Moses' name is like son, saying somebody's son. Okay, well, where's the first part of the name? Moses' actual name, because he was actually the adopted carrier caught in the reeds. And remember now, he had a near-death experience as a little baby because the daughter of the Pharaoh couldn't have children, and she picked up this little baby in the reeds in a basket because what happened, the Pharaoh decided he was going to send out an order to kill all the newborns because he knew there was something going on with the Hebrews. And he got his wizards told him to kill all the newborn baby boys, and this little boy was left in a reed basket. And the daughter of the Pharaoh picked up this little baby that was literally dying and resuscitated him, and he became Thutmoses. Moses is actually, his real name is Thutmoses. He was supposed to be the next Pharaoh. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Right, and you have to understand, when you look at this this tomb of Tutankhamun, he was the father of Thutmoses. It was only because he killed the Egyptian and headed up to the Valley of the Midian. So when Moses came back, he was part of the royal court, and all the high priests actually had been teaching him. Moses was not just a general, he was actually a physician too, and could do surgery. Did you know that?
Yes, and who is his immediate relative? If memory serves, Ramses.
Ramses was his half brother.
Okay.
Yeah, wasn't biologically related, but Ramses was like an average person that didn't have any extraordinary abilities, but he's a direct blood descendant of Thutmoses, Tutankhamun. So he was not supposed to be the pharaoh, even though he was the blood descendant of him. But this adopted Hebrew boy was supposed to be the next Moses because he was so remarkable as a young boy. They wanted him to become the next designated. And the guys who would decide was not the Pharaoh. He was the high priest. The high priests under the Pharaoh were the ones to decide who the next Pharaoh would be. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, it was not decided by the Pharaoh. If they found somebody who was inadequate, because there was a lot of inbreeding in not only Egyptian culture like it is right now with Muslims. So that if you go to a hospital and say in Saudi Arabia, there's six times more people with genetic defects because there's so much consanguinity. They marry their first cousins all the time. And if they have any gene defects, they show up and they have these whole entire hospitals for genetically defective children that are because they've accumulated multiple copies of genes from being related to their first-degree relatives.
I do know even Queen Nefertiti, okay, I believe she was a product of, what was it, seventh generation brother and sister pairing, you know, as in marriage and reproduction.
Right.
I believe, I'm not quite sure about this, but I believe Nefertiti was the mother of Tut, King Tut, Tutankhamun. So that substantiates everything you're saying about interbreeding.
Right, the interbreeding, that's why they had all kinds of birth defects and so on.
Right. Now, we were speaking about NPR yesterday. All right. Now, it was a very good show, if I say so myself. And I wanted to touch on a couple of subject matters that were actually very sensitive, treated with a very sensitive issue. First of all, I said that Donald Trump, okay, that's not his real name. His real name, it should be named P.T. Barnum, all right?
I agree with you. You know, I even got a funnier way of looking at him. He's a game show host on a game show. I like which door to open, and he actually operates like somebody who's running the World Federation Wrestling. So if you're crossing between WWE and the game show host online or on TV, that's how he runs the presidency. So he doesn't know a lot of science or other things, but he's a good businessman, a social guy. But what he does is, if he listens to the fourth game show contestant that seems to have a convincing argument, even if they're a globalist or a Satanist, I'm going with you, and he does. That's why he had hired people like McMaster, wanted to put 250,000 troops in Syria, or he sends Tomahawk missiles after he hears from the White Hats in Britain that the president of Syria used chemical weapons against his own population when they're already winning the war against the rebels.
Now, by the way, I knew McMaster from Iraq, northern Iraq, northern Syrian, northern Iraq border, and I did enjoy his brand of leadership. He knew what he was doing. He knows what he's doing. And I didn't know Kelly, okay, John Kelly, but
McMaster wanted to put 250,000 troops because, you see, when these things started to collapse, we should have carved off Syria away from Turkey, Iran, Hezbollah, and Russia. But we didn't do that. And as a result, the Kurds are dying. They're my relatives because I'm part Kurdish. And the Kurds were the only ones, both, by the way, men and women fought there. The women are just as good fighters as the men, by the way, and better shots. You know that, right?
Yes. I have a very good friend, okay, who actually helped me when they came to rendition me, okay. He stepped up and was going to go fist to cuffs with a leadership that was attempting to rendition me, all right?
Right.
Yeah, actually, his name was Abdullah Khalil, all right? That name should go down permanently as a very good friend and very, very, very capable, and he's one of the great leaders of the Kurd movement, of the Kurd people, all right? Abdullah Khalil, all right? And to this day, he's a very good friend.
Another reason, you have to understand the Kurds, which are my ancestors, that are intermarried with the daughter of the queen, the king of the Medes, and took on their tribal name. So my family line on my mother's side are called Naimas. So all the blood descendants of Moses, including in Sanhedrin, the name Naima, if you listen to it, like Dr. Henry L. Naiman, the virologist, they're relatives.
Right. Okay.
And they're all good descendants, and the Kurds are, by the way, not Arabs, they're Caucasians. We intermarried with the descendants of Moses, and so in Sanhedrin, that's what we have to dealing with. And he was actually best friends with Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph wasn't poor, by the way. People have to understand he owned the tin mines in Britain. The reason why it's called Britain is because all the tin mines were owned by Joseph of Arimathea's family, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's a very important point you can make. And very few people know that.
Right. He was very wealthy. So when we think Jesus was poor, Mary's uncle was one of the richest men in the Middle East and the entire of the world at that time. In our terms, we might call him a billionaire, almost like, you know, Donald Trump or Blomberg. You know, so Mary's uncle was not a poor man; he was a billionaire in their times.
That's correct. And the reason why I knew that was because I received a very interesting story when I was in Kathmandu, okay, in Nepal. Actually, I was on my way to Sikkim, the northern country of Sikkim in the Himalayas.
Right.
And I was given a very fascinating story about how Isa, who everybody knows, especially on your show, as Jesus.
That's why Daryl Issa is running for locally here, just on the other side, another part of Vista, as running back in Congress. He's the richest congressperson. He's actually running back to become a congressional person against DeMaio, who supports abortion. Issa is actually another name in the Middle East for Jesus. So Daryl Issa's last name means Daryl Jesus.
Yes, right. I'll reserve comment on that issue.
No, but I'm just trying to say that's how the name Issa is. It means, now, right, whatever his religious background is, he's pro-life because he supports pro-life from conception. And DeMaio, his opponent at the local elections here, they're going to happen in about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks,
yes,
March 3rd, is totally pro-abortion, even including abortion after the child's born, if he's got birth defects.
Now, on NPR, I said yesterday, and fortunately NPR is very understanding, very supportive, but I said, look, okay, this P.T. Barnum, a.k.a. Trump, all right, is pulling an active, by-the-book coup, okay, on the United States government. That's exactly what he's doing. You can't describe it any other way.
Right.
But when he went after Mr. Vindman, okay, he and his brother, actually, Vindman's brother, were actually removed from the White House grounds, physically removed, okay, I said that Mr. Vindman should trot out the telephone intercepts of Larry Silverstein, all right, Larry Silverstein and Benjamin Netanyahu speaking and planning every Sunday for several months. They called each other and planned the destruction of the World Trade Center.
That's why they had the dancing Israelis there, in fact. In fact, I tracked down and had intel information. This is back right after 9/11. And when I contacted them, the Israeli contact said, yeah, they were there. They were actually supposed to film the destruction of the World Trade Center towers. They brought it and put it actually on public television in Israel, actually, because they had recorded it. And they were actually dancing while they actually knew it was going to happen. They danced because they're across the way, actually recording the falling of the towers.
Yeah, directly across the Hudson.
Now, let me tell you this. Silverstein, who's head of the Port Authority in New York and works for the Israeli mafia that work there in New York City,
yes,
they doubly insured the buildings for just, I think, around $15 or $20 million. And because they had two towers hit by two separate aircraft, they got over $8 billion of money, and all the money that went in to build the Aria complex in Las Vegas came from the Blackstone group that worked as a proxy for the Port Authority in New York and the Israeli mafia in New York City under Silverstein. Did you know that?
You're talking Sumner Redstone or
it's called the Blackstone group.
The Blackstone group. Okay. All right.
Right. And I have all kinds of people. I have had an author on the show this last week. I've had Mark Gaffney, who wrote the 9/11 mystery plane about a white plane watching and monitoring everything, and what's called Black 9/11, and he's shown conclusively with documents, and I have other sources inside the intel agencies, that it was planned by Israel and by Silverstein to do this. And by the way, it was agreed by the SAD, the Special Activity Division of the CIA, contracted Israeli nuclear experts to put the bombs in the building. And the security officer for the building, and he actually was retired and put another person in there, was George Bush's brother, Marvin Bush, who was the security officer for the World Trade Center towers before 9/11.
That's absolutely correct. Now, as I pointed out yesterday, that Mr. Vindman, yes, he is an intelligence officer, but the thing is he is known as a signal security intercept specialist.
Right.
That's what his job was. And he was there in the White House, okay, in the SCIF. That's where that monitoring is done, in the SCIF. So Yeah, you can bet that he knew and heard everything because I personally knew it.
Okay. I want to go over an article I dealt with before you came on in the last hour, and I'm going to pop this open because I saw this today, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it here. Let me see if I can pop it open here. This was an issue that happened. Here it is. Here's the article. I have it up on the screen right now. 8 GOP senators joined Democrats in passing resolution to limit Trump's Iran war powers. Now, they need 67% of the votes to win, so they didn't succeed. But 8 Republicans, and I'm going to read the article. I want to hear your response because this is published today, February 13th, by Epoch Times. The Senate passed a bipartisan resolution to limit President Donald Trump's ability to make action against Iran in the wake of the airstrike that killed a top commander last month. That's Qasem Soleimani. Now, remember, you make treaties with your enemies, you make dinner for your friends, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, right. Dinner is different than treaties, okay? 8 Republicans voted in favor of the measure, including Senator Mike Lee, Utah. These are all Republicans, by the way. Rand Paul, Kentucky. Susan Collins, Maine. Todd Young, Indiana. Jerry Moran, Kansas. Lamar Alexander, Tennessee. Bill Cassidy, Louisiana. And Lisa Murkowski, Alaska. They joined every Democrat in chamber. It passed 55-45. Now, it wasn't enough to get the resolution, but the resolution was introduced by Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, and Dick Turmid, Democrat of Illinois, after Iranian General Qasem Soleimani was killed in January. Now, I'm going to take a little hiatus here, and I want you to go back, because you and I have discussed this in previous videos. This was like a mafia boss being killed. Now, Qasem Soleimani was asked, because he was trying to negotiate with the Iranian government and the mullahs and the Rouhani, to go down and make a deal with Saudi Arabia and Israel. And he was actually negotiating a three-nation oil pipeline that would cross Syrian territory. And he also was asked to come down to the Green Zone. And he was in an American vehicle with an American passport. He had a tracker chip in the vehicle. And he and 20 of his staff and an Iranian general that were killing ISIS, because we created ISIS, headed by Baghdadi. And you interviewed Baghdadi. Baghdadi, actually, the name...
No. I didn't interview Baghdadi. I recruited Baghdadi.
Right, but I mean, you recruited
Baghdadi, right? An asset.
Right,
you
right, so Baghdadi was an asset. And so Baghdadi was actually originally was a military officer and an actor that was actually going to run for us, ISIS, for this Muslim organization. And we gave him satellite phones and weapons. In fact, I got intel agencies that after 2009 sent me photos of photo ops of John McCain actually taking selfie photos with Baghdadi and others in a town near Amman, Jordan, where they're getting trained up to actually become ISIS. People don't realize that we create the chaos. We create these guys like ISIS. We're in organizations. We've created Al-Qaeda, which we created with Tim Osman, a.k.a. Osama bin Laden, who had renal failure and died 2 months before 9/11. He's not alive afterward, and they said they killed him. They got a guy on Fox that claimed, "I killed Osama bin Laden." No, he didn't. He was a lookalike or somebody else that's just a punch-out so they can actually claim they killed him. Just like they say they killed recently, they killed Baghdadi. I guarantee you they killed somebody that was a Baghdadi cutout, but Baghdadi is probably still alive because he's an Israeli, Saudi Arabian, and U.S. asset tied to SAD, Special Activity Division of the CIA, right?
Yes, and the whole story is all over the playing field.
Right, okay. Right. In other words, you got to understand, America and the British and the United Nations and the world government, they create the chaos, and then they create the order out of the chaos. This is completely Masonic. And what people need to start grasping here is, like the British when they erected and created the Soviet Union by actually going in and killing the Romanovs, and then erecting the government with the help of MI6 and the Jesuits, that was actually the controller of the original guy that founded Soviet Russia. We actually gave the weapons from Virginia, and we had a Canadian Highlanders division, an American division from South Carolina. They held the cities of St. Petersburg and Moscow until their weapons arrived that they could start slaughtering Russian citizens, especially the Jewish rabbis and the believing Russian Orthodox priests, before they could institute some of atheistic communism.
That was the Archangel invasion.
Right, exactly. And it was done by the primary people who were running it was British. It was help with the Jesuits and the Americans, and we actually supplied the guns for them, which took months to get in there. That's why we had to hold the cities of St. Petersburg, and after they christened the city, they changed the name to Leningrad, from Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, who actually was his handler as a Jesuit controller.
Now, I can just say this, and it's really neither here nor there, but this for your listeners, okay, one of my very good friends, okay, he and his wife have now passed away, but he was part of the royal family, okay, of Russia. His name and his wife's name, he was George Nazimov, all right, and his wife was named Vera. And the thing was, is I used to be a guest of theirs for dinner, once a month or so. But very clearly, she was beyond description when it came to anger. Okay, and I was concerning. Well,
it's not surprising because these people were directly put on because remember these are first cousins of the British. I call the reptilian class of the British royals, and the Rothschilds, and they decided to take their cousins out. And what people have to understand. The current leader of Russia, Vladimir Ilyich, Mr. Vladimir Putin, he should be called Vladimir Rasputin because he's actually the blood descendant of Rasputin the priest and Katerina, the Romanov princess under the Romanovs. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and that's why this guy doesn't like a drop of vodka. He's considered literally the walking Paul of the Russian Orthodox Church, and he has a Russian Orthodox high priest with him. Everywhere he travels, Vladimir Putin travels with a high priest from the Russian Orthodox Church. Did you know that?
No, I did want to say, okay, before we run out of time here.
Oh, we're not going to run out. We got lots of time. In fact, I got you on for this hour and next hour. We got tons to cover. And if you want to bring on Barbara Honecker or anybody else, including NPR, I want to play that song. I want to see you be brave from Zero Borelli because people aren't brave. I don't get anybody. People say, well, Dr. Deagle, you're mean. I said, no, I'm not. I want a dialogue. I don't care if people don't agree with me. In fact, I like them to be disagreeable because I'm going to teach them. I'll give you an example of something that got real funny and I got some interesting feedback. On Monday, I had David Deese, who's a fantastic geopolitical artist, and he does Photoshop. He does amazing guys. But he believes in the flat Earth. And I said, we got into a discussion that actually lengthened the show an extra half hour because he wanted me to teach him about Higgs boson fields and gravitonics. I said, after 60 years of being silent, God's given me final permission to say what I was not allowed to say to the nuns and the archbishop and so on. And so when I graduated in 1977 from Dalhousie, a sister of Harvard, I got a visiting priest that actually invited me to become a doctor for the Vatican, for the Pope and the Cardinals. Because I've been watching Deagle, okay, since I was a little boy. And the thing he told me not to say was that God had incarnated on limitless worlds across the cosmos. So when we make our first contact with living civilizations of humanoid and non-human beings, we're going to realize they've been visited by the Creator God in their world, in their language, and their bodies. They have to understand that Creator is not limited. There's only one God, not three gods like these Masons try to push, where there's a God of Jesus, there's a lesser God, and there's a Holy Spirit. There's one God. So when you pray, you got God. You got the real guy, the one guy inside you when you're praying. The most powerful thing you can do on earth is to ask God's will and to pray. There's nothing you can do more powerful. Nothing. Because you're calling on the will of God to actually create the change of reality. And what people have to start grasping here, this is the start of the beginning of the end. It started on January 27th. As we enter the year of the rat, the apocalypse is happening, and people like you and I, they're only getting a partial audience out there because most people think Dr. Deagle is either a deep state agent or I'm a nut or I'm Satan himself incarnate. And they have to understand I'm just a talented and inspired and gifted human that's an older brother that screwed up and God straightened me up and he made me a son again. And I have superhuman intellectual and spiritual abilities that make people really angry with me because they think, well, you need to shut up and let your co-host speak. Yes, I'm going to let you speak. You got a lot, another hour and a half. But you need to listen to me, people. And if you don't, you're going to suffer for it, either physically with your health, or your nation will die, and you and your relatives will die from super plagues that they've actually promulgated because they want to kill you, and they want to reduce the human population by 90%. And if you think I'm making it up, you'll be crying in your beer and crying in your wine, wondering, why didn't I listen to Deagle? How come I didn't get a first line kit? Why did I not listen to him when he told me these things and I want to curse him and spit at him? And why did I not send in messages to make sure we took them off the air. Why? You know why? Because you're so arrogant out there, you think you know better than me. And that's just not possible. It isn't. Now, you can dialogue with me. If you can teach me something, if you know something I don't know, I'm teachable, but you got to show evidence, logic, and personal experience, like you have. You taught me a lot of stuff, and so has Barbara Honecker. But if you don't have something to prove, don't think your attitude toward me is an opinion. It's not. It's an attitude. Opinion is based on facts, evidence, and logic, and there's only one giver of total truth, and that's God. It's not mankind. If we don't do God's will, we are not capable of doing His will, God, good. And you have to do God and add an extra O. So with that word, I want to hear from you some more, because we're going to take a break in a few minutes here for a couple minutes. But I want you to understand, Greg, you're called not just as an author of a book after you recover from your stroke, which they hope they shut you up. You're also called as Greg Ford, Dr. M.D. Greg Ford. You're a prophet and apostle of the Most High God. You have apostolic manna, or truth, geopolitical truth, spiritual truth, that if the world doesn't take that manna and eat it, their souls will die and their nations will die. They need to read your book. They need to read the Bible. They need to pray. They need to get not on their knees, but on their face with their nose against the ground and pray, God, what's happening? Why is this happening? Why did I not want to listen? Why did I curse them? Why did I not want to listen to the show when I heard Deagle? I said, damn, that guy's aggravating. I want to be entertained. I don't want to be shock-educated. I don't want them to take 2 4,000-volt intellectual panels and make me ask questions and make me feel uncomfortable or feel awful. Guess what? Awfulness is evil and stupidity leaving your body. The questions do not come from the mind. They come from an open soul. And without an open soul, you can't learn wisdom. And those who control wisdom have all power. And all wisdom comes from the Creator God only. It doesn't come from Lucifer. It doesn't come from a university that teaches you communism and scientific method. It comes from the Creator God, right?
Now, what I'd like to point out is, first of all, your chat room doesn't function where people can call in that have questions.
No, I don't have it set up. If I set it up, I'd be getting too many chats. What I do is I'm going to have a phone line in 2 weeks when I start a Genesis, and people could call into the show. And we're going to screen calls. They have to do two things. Number one, have to have something valid to say that's not in how many takes, like cursing, like a whole string of curse words, because they won't get on. But number two, they have to stay on topic. So if we're on a topic like talking about, say, the World Health Organization or SARS, or how you were renditioned, they try to shut you up by killing you or wiping your mind clean, even if you're still alive, you'd be drooling in a nursing home. They have to understand what we're saying is not friggin' open to the damned opinion. Your life and my life, as weird and strange as it is not open to anybody's damned opinion, is it?
Well, not that part about being rendition, no.
No, it's not open. And people say, well, you're a liar. You weren't rendition. You weren't even in Iraq. I'm thinking, you know what? Those people that say those kind of things, or say, Deagle, you never had security clearance and this and that, they need to shut up. They need to listen. They need to pray. And they need to beg God for forgiveness so they can hear the truth so it can save them. It saved their family, saved their nation from destruction. Because if this public health official in Hong Kong is correct yesterday, that announced this?
Yes.
With 16% case fatality, if this spreads to what he thinks 60% of the world population, it's going to kill 1 in 10 human beings on Earth, or 750 million. This is going to force us, probably this year, into medical martial law. Now, my days as Dr. Dangerfield, in your days, I mean, you may have a huge audience because you're an amazing guy. But your days of just being a minor entertaining person in NPR or having your book out there, they should grab your book, and you should have so many book sales they can't print enough books for people to read. Because you've got so much stuff in your book, and I'm continuing to go back over it. People need to realize, besides the Bible, if they read your book and they read the books like, you know, Extreme Prejudice from Susan Honegger, or Janice Karpinski book, One Woman's War, if they read these books and realize these human beings, our brothers and sisters, like you're my brother, have gone through living hell, it's not open to anybody's damned opinion. They might want to say we're liars. Why the hell would I lie at 68 years of age for all this stuff? Do you think my psychosis desires me to lie, or I'm a narcissistic egomaniac? No, I'm not. I am talented, but I'm not an egomaniac. Most people who are egomaniacs are incompetent, and they want their ego pumped up because they feel so inadequate. They need somebody to worship. I don't want any worship. Worship God. I'm just his bait bucket guy. I'm not anything special. I feel average. I just think other people don't want to ask questions. I don't feel special. I feel like I can't deal with cognitive dissonance. Maybe that's the key thing that makes me different. I can't deal with lies. I can't deal with adults telling me things when I was a little boy. And because of that difference, I have a high curiosity index, and that's what it is. Your questions and your curiosity do not come from your mind. They come from your soul. And if God gives you a strong curiosity, you become like an intel agent. I got turned 26 years ago. I'm a spook now. You're a spook. You understand the only way you're a really good spook is if you ask lots of questions, right?
Yes, that's a good
And you have
start.
To have, to have no idea. You have to also be what I call a box agnostic. You heard about a box agnostic? They don't believe in boxes. A priori assumptions about things are out the window. You have to always deal with a fresh, open field of analysis. If you think, if you believe in boxes, you're not good for intel or medical research or anything where you find the truth. Because wisdom is found by those who ask questions and don't make a priori assumptions, right?
Now, didn't you say something a bit ago about a bio break?
Yes, we're going to take a bio break for a few minutes now. And I'm going to put on a commercial here with our products, and then we're going to take a break, and we'll start up hour three in a few minutes, but you just stay right there. Stay on your phone. You can go have your bio break. We'll be gone for about 6 minutes, okay?
Okay.
So you take care, and we'll be back in a few minutes here.
Now, if you had a chat room, your callers could call in and say, hey, we want to hear, when you're on bio break, Bill, hear his side of the story about, like, NPR and so forth yesterday. Okay?
Well, no, that was an anomaly. I had done a full hour with somebody, and I had to do a whole bunch of news. But ordinarily, when I take a bio break, I have a video up on our commercials for our products. So right now the commercials are on, so right now they're watching a thing like Vitamin Mineral Max and some other products and so on, and that's playing in the other screen here. And that was only about 3 minutes long. Okay. Maybe I'm going to switch it and put another one up there. Let me see if I can put up.
Contains vitamin cofactors, folic acid.
That's going to be up for another. Well, 2.5 minutes. So I got to run. I'll be right back, and you have your break. I'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. Okay.
It sounds good, Bill.
Okay. Take care.
Across the membrane. It's a balanced formula that is bioactivated, so it jumps into gene defects or single nucleotide polymorphism. It contains antioxidants, vitamins, vitamins, berries, and oils. One becomes as well. Very remarkable. Usually recommended to take one capsule twice a day. We have a Vitamin Mineral Max powder, too, which is a fruit-flavored powder, which is excellent. One scoop equals one capsule. Used for adults or children. This is an amazing formula for phase 2 detox for sulfation, methylation, glucuronidation, which is often deficient in many people that have detox pathway deficiencies. So you usually take one capsule to two capsules twice a day. The formula, of course, is maximum wellness. It's one of the base formulas almost everybody should be taking every day. And then it helps to support good nutrition because a lot of times in your foods are not bioactivated, like folic acid and B12 and specific main and trace minerals that need to get across the membrane into the cell to activate genes, produce structural proteins and enzymes. It therefore supports healthy antioxidant activity and cell and tissue regeneration, antioxidant activity, etc., and detoxification, sulfation, methylation, glucuronidation. We have an amazing formula here today. So I recommend you get Vitamin Mineral Max and the capsule, the powder is equivalent to it. One scoop equals the Vitamin Mineral Max powder. Fruit flavored and great for kids or adults who don't like to swallow capsules. Get it today at NutriMedical.com and stay well. If you have questions, do contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical at DrBillDeagle.com. 888-212-8871 is our order line. The show is from 2 to 5 Central, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific, Monday to Friday. And you can call in if you have questions of the show or if you want to get a free starter protocol, just email me at contactus@NutriMedical or email NutriMedical@drbilldeagle.com. Thank you, and if you want a free starter protocol, do contact us. Otherwise, do a very advanced consultative for testing, blood testing, and other testing with the affiliate work with clinics all over the world, even in foreign languages, and I do train doctors free, but do charge for my time to review the records and do a recording for you after a consultation anywhere in the world. Thank you for listening. Take care and take action every day of your life with the most advanced nutraceuticals at NutriMedical.com.
Hello, Greg, you're back. I'm back.
All right, Bill.
We are going to, our commercial, I think, is now over, so we're going to flip back here to live.
Okay,
we got Greg Ford. So, Greg, I want you to kind of, I'm going to sit back here and let you kind of give your story now. I talked too much the first hour. Go ahead. Oh, by the way, here, you know what I'm going to do? We only have a few minutes left of this hour. Just give us a couple minutes, and then we're going to take a break for like 1 minute and just go and start a new recording for hour three. So go ahead and talk.
Okay. Instead of taking a bio break, I was actually examining my tulips. I bought some tulips last year, bulbs, when I was in Holland, okay, and I was just examining them. This is their first season, and the weather's been so good that they're beginning to actually grow. They're spectacular, amazing. Of course, this is in Northern California. I have no idea what the weather's like in Southern California.
Our temperature in my studio with the patio door wide open is 74. And it's sunny and beautiful here. I live in Vista, which is, according to experts that go back, this is one of the five most ideal climates on the planet where I live in the mountains. We've never seen snow. We've had basically hail once every 12 to 14 years for maybe a couple minutes. We get no superstorms. We're 95 to 100 miles from the nearest fault zone, so we're not going to have an earthquake destroy our home. We're on a granite mountain with the second hardest rock on the planet, rebar directly into the granite, so my home's not going anywhere. My home is 5,000 square feet with an acre around it and a wall, and it's got a moat around it basically filled with the most poisonous rattlesnakes on the planet. So if you try to come into my home and try to cause me harm, I have advanced bioweapons and other weapons here. I'm going to be the secretary for Jesus and arrange your appointment to meet your maker. So people need to understand, Dr. Bill is prepped up. I have a generator. I've got 8,500 watts of solar panels. I'm going to soon have silicon salt batteries. And I'm building exotic weapons, and I'm teaching people how to make them, including I've had over 10 years out on my website how to make a ball-bearing accelerator weapon, scalar weapons, and others. And if you take my instructions, which I'll give you to you free, you can make weapons a hell of a lot more dangerous than guns or anything that DARPA has or the government if they want to come to your home and grab you and put you in civil detention camp. So the government should know we are not communist Chinese. If you try to come to our homes and seize us, you might get a couple of us, but the rest of us are going to kill you. How's that?
By the way, you left a message earlier today to confirm this show, and I listened to it, and the first thing I did was I went and got my very dusty, well-palmed medical books, okay, on protein folding.
Right.
As in the issue concerning China right now.
Right, right. And by the way, I worked out yesterday. I finally got my information. I got the atomic, I got the resonance comet weight of the spike glycoprotein for the SARS coronavirus. And it's a tetramer, so it's a four of these molecules together.
Right.
Its base resonance is 139 kilodaltons. And with the Linus Pauling equations I've calculated out now as of late last night, it's exactly 207.176 hertz to actually disrupt the virus using radionic spectral broadcasting, which I have. I have the frequency also for Nagalase, which viruses like Epstein-Barr virus or the AIDS coronavirus generates in cancer. And I can actually neutralize Nagalase with 337 hertz. And I'm with my colleague, Dr. Dan Royal, who was on the show for over an hour yesterday. He uses a combination of Dr. Fisher's QRS mat, and we have the Salvino mat, the next generation, and the photon sound beam invented in 1893 by Tesla. We've got a new version that Dr. Truat's colleague will have out in April. It's miniaturized in battery packs. It can generate ozone in your body that kills all viruses. So we have the scalar technology, the first-line defense kits. We have everything necessary to kill any virus, including those that cause cancer and heart disease and dementia, because dementia is, again, an infection too, right? People need to realize that.
Yes, certainly. Yeah.
And by the way, when your brain is banged a whole bunch of times in the contact sport, you may increase the risk of getting infection because you break down the blood-brain barrier. It's a metabolic and an immunological barrier. When you break it down, with traumatic injury, you increase the chance of immunogenicity against brain tissue.
You know, it's amazing to hear you say that because very few people, including doctors, even have the faintest idea what a blood-brain barrier is.
It's a metabolic barrier. It's also an immunological barrier. It's not. It's not a physical barrier. It's an immunological and a metabolic barrier.
Right. Certainly. But very few people are even aware.
Well, let's put it this way. Back when I went to medical school, they said, Deagle, you asked too many questions in class. I had 98% of the questions in my class of 105. And that president's afterwards said, for God's sake, Deagle, you're embarrassing us. You're so curious. You're asking so many questions. Please keep the questions, the GD questions, to yourself or ask them after class. I said, I'm not going to do that. I want the other students to know the answers as to why you say something in class. People need to understand, there probably is no one like me living on the earth that's more curious than me. I want to know everything. I'm like Leonardo da Vinci was dying, and he said, you know, I'm dying, but I'm so curious, I want to learn this, and this, and this, and this, and this. That's the way I am every moment of life. I go to sleep at night, and I dream in equations of questions and asking God. People need to know, if you're not curious, you don't have any life in you, and your life comes from your soul, not your mind. It comes from your soul. And part of the reason why God resurrected you is you're a very curious person, and God's given you a gift of going through the hell of being renditioned for the truth. And the fact that when we killed, with Donald J. Trump did a whack on Soleimani, and these Congress people are actually, to some extent, correct when they're trying to restrain Donald J. Trump, because what they've done is, under Barack Obama, they gave long-range tankers, and Donald Trump gave more things to the Israelis. So now the Israelis can whack the Bashar reactor in response to the Iranians, because the globalists like Mr. Bolton and others that are PNAC want a damn war with Iran. And if we start a war, they have not only bioweapons they got from Bioprep-Rat, they got missiles that can hit Israel. And Israel will bomb the Bashar reactor, the Strait of Hormuz will close, and we're going to have most of the Israelis inside Israel from Eilat to Haifa and Tel Aviv are going to die. People don't get that, do they?
No, there's quite a bit to this story. All right.
Right. And people want—they don't want to connect all the dots. I connect everything. I have the kind of mind that you haven't seen in centuries. And people say, "Well, Deagle, you're arrogant." No, I'm not. I'm talented. There's a hell of a big difference. But I'm not going to hide my gifts under a bushel basket, because the human race is dependent on God giving me words of knowledge and getting through to you knuckleheads out there that need to know. Well, I pray and I can't hear from God. I said, God has his people that are spokespeople, and when he sends us, we are we think of me as a guy that runs a food truck. Only my food truck has got manna in it. I got the manna food truck, and so do you when we go on air. And if you go up to our food truck, we're going to give you the truth to save you from your health issues, save you geopolitically, save your nation from dying, like China's dying now. I'm trying to get in contact. So this morning I called my sister, who was for a year and a half, was a journalist in the Hong Kong Daily News, and she speaks all different dialects of Chinese. Her husband's mother escaped from Shenzhen after her family were all shot in the back of the head by the communists coming into Shenzhen and persecuting them, telling them to stop speaking their dialectic of Chinese. And she swam across the shark-infested waters in Kowloon Bay and got in a junk, and they took her to Hong Kong, and she emigrated to Canada and became the mother of my youngest sister's husband. And they had some very brilliant kids. Their youngest, Danielle, was so smart that at 13 she had her master's disease in plasma physics from Princeton, and at 18 had her PhD. She designed a system for storing gigawatts of power in underground compressed air storage containers, and they're selling all over the world. What you have to understand is God gifted people like us, not as a gift to us, because it's a pain in the ass being me. Do you think being me and having my personality is really nice, or is it not nice? Because I tick people off. You know that, right? I have the social graces of a pet rock. I do not have normal social grace. I don't know when to shut up in social company. I tick people off. Or you're crazy, Deagle. You're weird, Deagle. You don't let your guests speak. You need to shut up, Deagle. No, you need to shut up and listen. And then when I let my guests speak, they're going to have plenty of time to talk. But you got to understand, we're at the end of human history. This is it. This is not a rehearsal. This is the big show, isn't it?
I was on Repulse Bay visiting some friends there in Hong Kong, and you mentioned sharks. The one week I was there, they had, I believe it was 11 shark attacks with 11 deaths. Okay, 11 people killed. All right, in that shark infested bay there.
Right, the shark infested bay between Shenzhen, which is a major industrial center, and Hong Kong is one of the most shark infested places on the planet.
Right, exactly. And that's what happened when I was there.
Yeah, well, my youngest sister's husband's mother managed to swim across and get in the junk and nearly got eaten by a shark. And she managed to emigrate to Canada and had Greg, her son, who became my youngest sister's husband. So I have Chinese relatives in Shenzhen. And I was talking to her this morning. She said, you know, they persecuted. They had 8 different dialects of Chinese, and the communists forced them to all have one dialect across China. It's against the law to speak the other dialects. There's 8 dialects in Chinese that are completely different languages. Do you know that?
What dialect was that, Bill, by the way?
Well, I think the one that she had when they were there in Shenzhen was Canton. But the Cantonese was actually told you can't speak Cantonese or you're going to go to prison. And in China, they got 20,000 Laodai camps. And if you go there, the first thing they do is they tissue type you, and your tissue type comes up in the international exchange. And the Special Activity Division of the CIA here in America runs the organ exchange markets in India and China. And if your tissue type comes up, they literally wheel you out from the prison to a truck, and they shoot you in the back of the head and take out your organs live and put them in a cold storage container and fly them out to the destination. They tried to recruit me in 1987 to be working with them, securing organs from people working in the trauma and burn unit in Augusta, Georgia. So Dr. Deagle doesn't know the second hand. I know it first hand. Okay? I arrived in my office in Georgia back in 87, and I said, what the hell is this? I had a honey ham and a whole bunch of really nice things. And a cardiovascular surgeon put it on my desk. I said, what the heck is this? He said, I need to meet with you privately. And then he told me about this organ procurement thing. Because I worked, when I was not working in my office, I worked in the trauma burn unit. And if I could declare someone dead, we can grab their friggin' organs. They got a 30%, 40% burn on their body. Why not, while they're in coma, whip out their liver and kidneys or lungs, right?
Yes, I have a comparable story, but...
Right, so you got to understand, when Deagle says this stuff, it's not open to your GD opinion out there. Now, I don't get anybody who has the cojones, and that, by the way, women have more cojones intellectually than most men, by the way. Women do, okay? When you get a real tough woman, like a Viking woman, like my wife, Michelle, they're tough. She's a J1C Viking, right? And my name, Deagle, is Norwegian Viking. They came down to serve the King of France. My ancestor, centuries ago, was 7'9", and he served the King of France, and they married smaller and smaller women, so the infantry got shorter. So my grandfather was about 6 foot tall. My father was 5'7". I'm around 5'9", 5'10", depending on how old or young I am. Around 5'9" now. But my ancestors were giants. My cousins are all 6'6" to 6'10". Okay? So you got to understand here, people, I'm not a breed of passive genetic background, okay? I'm a warrior. And I want people to know I'm your big brother. I'm not here to be a gloating egomaniac. I'm here to protect you. I'm like, you know, a spiritual policeman trying to say, if you listen to me, you prosper, and I'll get your health back, whether you're recovering from cancer or heart disease without having your chest crack like a lobster, or recovering from a traumatic brain injury. And I'm going to do things for you to get your brain back, because you're a brilliant man, but you're suffering from post-traumatic brain and post-stroke injuries to your brain. You know that, right? They tried to damage your hippocampus and so on, so you couldn't recall all the stuff you knew.
Yeah, my diencephalon.
Right, I know how to fix it, okay? So someone like me only comes along every so many centuries. I have literally the cause worked out for all the major diseases of the Western world. Do you know that? Little old Dr. Deagle knows the underlying pathological cause of every major illness, and I'm going to publish it this year in video and in reports that will be published to my doctor colleagues. I've also found the cause of aging. Did you know that?
Yes, I believe I did.
Right. Now, you have to understand, people say, well, he's arrogant. Just because I have the answers, just like Leonardo da Vinci worked out, his primary job, by the way, was making weapons for the Italian government. He was an artist. He's the first artist in the world who made what's called the first infrared three-dimensional art painting. Did you know that? The Mona Lisa is not just a regular art piece. If you take an infrared camera, it's 3D. Did you know that? He actually invented 3D infrared paints.
Yeah, this time last year, I was in the Louvre looking at the Mona Lisa. And yes, I could tell there was something exceptional about it in every sense of the word.
If you have the lights turned off and you have an infrared camera, you'll see you can see the Mona Lisa's face in 3 dimensions.
Yes, something like that.
Yeah, yes. You know why? Because you got to understand, and I learned this from a Japanese guy that was a black, who had what's called the highest level in Japan of their secret arts. he was doing his master's in chemistry at Dalhousie back in the early 70s, and he got to really like me, so we go back and forth. This guy's a martial artist. He was like, I'd say like 4'10", but he could jump so high he could hit the hoop on the basket from his foot below him. That's how athletic he was. He could do superhuman things. I said, holy crapes. So he told me, he said, you know, when they want to select somebody who's a high priest in these secret arts, they have to be able to see in the infrared light. So what they do is they give a basket of needles to the little boy that's supposed to go into the sacred place for 3 days, and they have to actually stick the acu-needles into the infrared light points that actually are light spikes coming out of their body where the energy or chi points are coming out of. Did you know that? And if they can't actually see the infrared light and put the needles in the points, they can't be either learn martial arts or become an acupuncturist. It does all through Asia. They all know this. Everybody knows this in Asia. Russia, you know, Taiwan, Japan, China, they all know this because these are ancient. These all go back tens of thousands of years. They already kept this ancient art because they were part of what's called the Kingdom of Mu. There's two kingdoms, the King of Atlantis, the King of Mu. They are all descendants of the King of Mu. Did you know that, the Kingdom of Mu?
M-U.
M-U, the Kingdom of Mu, M-U. And what people have to understand is that the 1 in 20, now male, females, almost none of them see infrared light. But 1 in 20 males can see infrared light. And I found this out the hard way, where we had a power outage in Calgary, Alberta, when I was doing research with a point finder and trying to do therapy on my patients because I was a team doctor for the Calgary Flames. And the damn lights went out, and it was totally darkness in my exam room, no windows in that room. And I could see the spikes of light. So, oh, damn it, I don't need a point finder to do acupuncture treatment on these people. And I realized I had that gift. So I had patients of mine that were acupuncturists. And they say, oh, you like us, Deagle. You can see spikes. I said, dang it. So that's what you're doing. And so the Chinese people don't realize, they don't have enough respect for Asian medicine, right? They can actually see the G energy points exuding from your body through infrared light spikes. Isn't that wild?
Yes, that's why I make it a point of having acupuncture at least once a week myself.
No, I have a new technology, and it's basically by a company called Resonant Light out of British Columbia, and they have the right frequencies. They can do through what's called a ProGen 3, which I sell, and the ProLM Plus, it can generate a resonant field for 30 feet, but I have generated my own machine that can generate a resonant field for up to 25 miles. And the new Magi that Dr. Truat's developed, and the new mini Magi will generate a resonance field for your entire home to block ELF pollution and to suppress viral overgrowth. But I worked out the resonant frequencies yesterday. The frequency for the SARS coronavirus spiky glycoprotein basic subunit is 207.176 hertz. I used Linus Pauling's actual equations for working out the disruptive frequencies based on the research by Raymond Rife over 100 years ago.
Now, I actually have a Vietnamese doctor of acupuncture, and everything is very, very good. He does a very good job. The only thing that makes me feel slightly uncomfortable is when I go into his office and lie down on the table, I always feel like I should check it for trip wires.
You're a funny guy. Listen, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take another bio break for a minute, turn it off. We're going to come back. We're going to give you 2 minutes. When we come back, we're going to go live for hour three. I kept on talking, so we went into two. But remember, I'm not sticking on the clock here. We all have to.
I'm still busy trying to tell your listeners happened yesterday.
Yeah, you finish your story right now before I go then. And then we're going to take a little two-minute break, and then we're going to come back live for hour three, okay?
Okay. All right.
Continue your story. Keep going. I'm not going yet. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, yesterday, of course, the NPR folks, they wanted to know, first of all, about the conversation that I'd had the day before with a journalist.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm having a conversation with Dino the Pool Man, okay?
Is Dino trying to talk to you right now, is he?
He's going to skim the pool right now.
Well, that's okay, as long as it doesn't skim your conversation, we're good.
Now, Dino the Pool Man, he is an expert on pool, my pool and the maintenance of my pool, and he's also an expert on ancient Egypt.
All right? Okay, so does Barbara Honegger. Now, have you ever heard of the Labyrinth?
In Greece.
No, the labyrinths and the labyrinths on the plains near the ancient pyramids. The labyrinths in Egypt.
Are you talking about the underground?
Yes, the underground labyrinth. Have you ever heard of it?
Right. They're on the Giza pyramid.
And the Giza plateau. The largest underground structure in the ancient world. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. Labyrinths.
Right. Yeah, well, actually, I have, and I actually got a bit of a briefing on that labyrinth from David Icke. I see.
David Icke knows about this stuff. I want to get David on my show because he's probably brave enough and weird enough to come on my show, because you have to be both brave, weird, and brilliant. If you're not brave, weird, and brilliant, you're not going to entertain people. And at the very least, people are going to say, you know, that was so weird and so entertaining, my boring life is no longer boring. How's that?
That's right. Well, let me see. Yesterday, basically, I came out and I told NPR that it appears, and I'm absolutely sure of this, actually, is that Donald Trump, okay, P.T. Barnum, okay, is the reason why he had the support of the Republican Party, well, during that impassioned impeachment hearing.
Right.
Well, because he controls, and I mean this literally, he controls the AIPAC funding that the United States of America is addicted to giving Israel.
Right.
Israel, the country of Israel, has been the black for several years now.
And you got to understand, remember the movie by Dustin Hoffman? It's called Wag the Dog, and it showed about the state of Israel wagging and creating false things.
I saw it about 3 months ago, finally.
Right, right. The Wag the Dog. So Dustin Hoffman played that years ago, right? And you got to understand here, the tail is Israel, and they wag the dog of America. Do you like that?
Right. Oh, yes. Right. In this case, they used the, the Serbo-Croatian War?
Right.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
So the thing is, as I pointed out, I said, look, the money that is being sent covertly to Israel, okay, what it is one great big feedback loop.
Sure,
it's
is
being controlled,
and it also controls the senators. I say the Congress critters. If you're not a pro-Israel Congress critter, you're going to not get elected.
Oh yes, of course.
And you're certainly not going to get corporate support. That's why everybody in there panicking over Bernie Sanders, because he's a communist. He doesn't have AIPAC on his side. Neither does AOC, who is completely against the state of Israel. And believe it or not, the squad, which says mostly lies, they said one true thing, her and Ilhan Omar, that they say that the Muslims didn't do 9/11. Kudos, ladies. That's the only true thing you said, because the state of Israel hell and our CIA said did a 9/11 with the Port Authority in New York and the Israeli government, right?
Right.
With the complete blessing of the SAD CIA, because they actually contracted to Mossad to put the bombs in the building, and the security officer of the building was Marvin Bush, while they're being put in the building, before he turned over his job to somebody else. And his last day of formal working was 9/11. Did you know that?
Yes, and that's what I spoke about yesterday. Was besides Israel's budget being in the black for the last several years, okay, they haven't needed our money. They are using our free money to control our politicians.
Right. In fact, your politicians are on a short, what's called AIPAC choke chain, choke chain on every one of our politicians. So people don't understand that. Now, I don't believe we should abandon Israel, but we got to change the relationship. The tail should not wag the dog of America. Also, we've got the evil jellyfish, I call the evangelicals, that are supporting the idea of building a temple. And we've got the crazy Israelis that want to have this new peace accord. In, I think, March 3rd, I think it is, when we're having our local elections here in California, Bibi Netanyahu, after five terms, which is a CFR member, has this treaty that was put together by Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law. And they've got this ready. This is the only thing that allowed Bibi to get reelected and go instead of going to jail for corruption. And we have to understand that if he does it, they plan on giving Donald J. Trump the title, if he succeeds in this treaty and the Palestinians accepted, of King of Israel. So they're lining Donald J. Trump up to be, quote, and listen to this now, people, 6-foot-high letters, the Antichrist. So in other words, They're not looking for a Christian leader that's a spiritual leader and has got the Bible out and everything. They want somebody that does so many good works, they consider him literally the replacement from King Darius of Persia that's now on the half shekel as of 2018. You got to understand, the Israelis have already said, if Donald Trump gets peace accords, so they stop trying to bomb and blow up Israelis with Palestinian terrorists, and they disarm them, and they have to be disarmed, by the way, with this treaty. The Palestinians are not going to be allowed to carry guns and carry guns into Israel, right? And they're very much against the agreement, but guess what? This is their last chance to get an agreement, and if Donald Trump succeeds, they've got a title for him, and they're going to call him the King of Israel. They've already stated this publicly, the King of Israel, Donald J. Trump.
He even has his own currency denomination.
Right.
In Israel. And I forget what it's called.
It's a half shekel. It's a half shekel with King Darius of Persia. Yeah. With a current picture of Darius of Persia. That, by the way, people need to know that Darius was a descendant of Queen Esther, which is a Hebrew. Did you know that?
Yes. You said it.
And you can cross corroborate Darius. That's why he rebuilt the temple 5 centuries before Jesus. He was part Hebrew.
Oh yes, certainly. And this is something that I'm always amazed at.
That's why the ancient Persians are actually have a direct tie to Israel. They're not enemies, but it was the British that took out Mossadegh, put in the Shah, and eventually they put in the Ayatollah and actually copied their audio tapes for them. And the jet that brought Ayatollah Khomeini from Paris actually had CIA officers in the aircraft while he landed in Tehran Airport. You know that, right?
Now, on your show, not 3 days ago, Barbara Honegger spoke about how that whole episode was manipulated and controlled by the CIA, including those doctored up phony baloney voice recordings.
Exactly. Exactly. And the Ayatollah, they copied them and made them deteriorate, so they look like they were made by some idiot. These copies were deteriorate, but they made millions of copies. So when he arrived there, there were millions of people in Tehran waiting for the arrival of the Ayatollah. He was actually exiled in Paris for years.
Now, have you told your listeners what Barbara Honegger's job was?
Well, I want you to repeat that just because it's better to hear from you than from me. Okay, go ahead.
Barbara Honegger, my very good friend who I just went to Scotland with.
Right.
Her job was being the licensed, educated, and intelligence analyst for both George H.W. Bush and former President Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And when you look at her book, this one book is called The October Surprise.
Right. Which you can buy, by the way, on Amazon, and I have it. I have a copy. It's amazing.
Exactly. Well, you will see Barbara Honegger standing there in the White House with Mr. Reagan, okay, President Reagan,
right,
and George H.W. Bush, both looking at her as if they're looking at Satan himself, all right, because she had just exposed the fact that they had intentionally worked with the Ayatollah Khomeini, both of them, okay, had worked with the Ayatollah Khomeini and kept those people hostage from the embassy. And it was Barbara who found that out and actually wrote about it and brought that to light.
In other words, it was a scheme, even during the years of Jimmy Carter. It was our government that on purpose made sure those people suffered under the control of the WAFT and the people in Iran as a part of a dialectic. And we created both sides of the Iran-Iraq war. And when we went into Iraq, we brought weapons of mass destruction and killed 1.5 million Iranians who are decent, smart, and wonderful people while we prosecuted this war to create our dialectic of the Project for the New American Century. And they had a list of 7 nations on that list to actually balkanize or break up so they can control the Mideast. And the largest supply of oil on the planet. You know where it is? The southwest end of the Dead Sea with spikes of that oil feeding Saudi Arabia and the oil fields which are up between the Kurdish territory between Turkey and Syria and Iran. Iraq.
Actually, Red Azerbaijan.
It's called Red Azerbaijan. And guess who was taken there supernaturally before I traveled to in 1999 to Dallas, Texas? Dr. Bill Deagle, the angel, brought me through 26,000 feet of salt dome to the batholith underneath the Sosuke's end of the Dead Sea. And when I told Hayseed Stevens, we spent the entire night at the Whataburger, and he said, I want you to come to Israel and say a prayer at the Elohim Perizim drill site on Sukkot, which I did. I had a Hebrew translate my prayer, which I had, because I couldn't speak at that time any Hebrew. And I met Fico, who discovered the Zohar fields and the ones in Lafayette fields, those of Damascus, those of Cyprus, that now supplies about 30% of the gas for Europe. Those fields were Fico, and when I told him the geology, he said, you can only know the supernatural because no one else besides me and Ariel Sharon knows this. And Hayseed, I lost a drillfish bit at 16,800 feet years before, and he was delayed a few days coming from New York because he's going to get billions of dollars to drill. They offered me if I would give them spiritual commission to go ahead and do drilling, $100 million or any missionary on earth. And I told Stan Johnson and Hayseed Stevens, if you do this drill, your ministry will be crushed, Stan Johnson and Prophecy Club, and you, Hayseed Stevens, will die. And guess what? They tried to proceed anyway, and Hayseed Stevens died, and his son's still pushing to drill there at the southwest end of the Dead Sea. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was going to say, I know that because a large description of it is in my book.
Right.
Okay. But the thing is, there's a section in my book which talks about the seven pipelines, the seven transport pipelines in Iraq, okay? And everybody says, oh, yeah, well, they have some oil, but the public has been conditioned to believe that all the oil in the world is in Saudi Arabia.
No, in fact, Saudi Arabia has 700 million barrels. The area in Iraq that you're talking about, the red Azerbaijan area, has right. already proven to the oil engineers 4 trillion barrels. You know that, right?
Yes, I do know that. And of course, when our government was busy telling the American people, oh yeah, keep all that money flowing because we're going to lower it. We're going to lower the price of your gasoline at the pump. Well, that was all nonsense.
Okay. Right. It's all manipulated because remember, all the wars are banker wars since the Napoleonic Wars, where the Rothschilds sent their passenger pigeons and said that Napoleon won the war. Then they bought up all the stocks. Even the crown jewels of the queen are owned by the Rothschilds. And that's why they're intermarried with the royals now. You know that, right?
Oh, yes, right. Now,
the royals are actually part blood Rothschild, so I call the chief reptile the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, who used to be Lilibet. These people were people just like Hillary Clinton. They were literally put through the Masonic ceremony and cursed by having a transdimensional Drake or reptilian enter. So I call the Queen of England the chief reptile of Earth. What do you think of that?
They're pretty scary.
That's why. Remember how we have that young princess was killed, who was actually the wife of Prince Charles?
Yes.
And Diana? She said all these things openly on British radio and television, and they thought she was nuts or psychotic. She was telling the truth.
Yeah, absolutely, she was. And by the way, this came out on NPR. I talked about this at length. This Jeffrey Epstein, okay, which believe me, Donald Trump would just love to have everybody forget about the Epstein episode.
Well, because Donald Trump was there on what we call Epstein's prostitute island, and so was Prince Andrew, the Queen's son. Right?
Well, the thing is that Mr. Epstein, of course, nobody wants to hear this, especially from that camp, is that Mr. Epstein was, of course, killed, murdered, and garroted on orders, okay? He was actually garroted by a coax cable, okay?
Right.
In the New York... just one moment. What's up, buddy?
Good.
Okay. I'm getting some external fans here.
Okay, yeah, external fan. You know what I think we're doing? I'm going to take a break for a minute. And we got a lot of energy here, but I'm going to go over and take a bio break for 2 minutes. I'm going to close off this hour. We've actually gone over the limit, but I don't have to worry about that. And we'll be back in 2 minutes, and we're going to go live again. So stay tuned, people. Watch it live. You're going to hear more things. Listen, you're going to hear more classified information, more spiritual, geopolitical truth on this show live than any place else on Earth in human history. You can ask me any question on Earth, and my co-hosts like I should consider you sometimes. I want you to take over the show for some days. Me and my co-hosts, my co-prophets, know more information than anybody else in history, and it's because God's brought grace and truth. And we are, let's put it this way, our shows, which I call the manna trucks, you know, like the food trucks you go around the city, like L.A., whatever, and you get a food truck? Think of us, we got a manna food truck, and we're on cyberspace, raining down from heaven from satellites and from YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and all these other things. We're raining down truth in the population so they get spiritual manna, because Jesus said, when I return, there shall be faith on the earth. So faith comes from one thing. You pray, you ask questions, you receive dreams, visions, and confirmations from God. Faith is not something we work up. It's something as a gift from God. When you open yourself off to let God take over your control of your life. You do not get faith because you have somebody make you feel really good, you're athletic, and your medical tests are good. You get faith because God confirms that even if things are going to hell in a handcart like this flu, that God is with us. So the world will get faith if people eat the spiritual truth or manna, reading your book, reading their Bible, praying, and understanding this is the end of secular Luciferic Draco-Reptilian history on Earth. This is the end of the game. And it's going to get really ugly and really painful, but it's God literally purging the body politic of the world of evil. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to leave a mark, but we're going to survive it, aren't we?
Now, when you come back, I do want to tell your listeners, okay, about the contract killing, as in ordered and issued by the Clintons, both Hillary and her husband, of Jeffrey Epstein, and why he was killed, and the ramifications of that.
Well, you know, we call that meeting some type of murder. I actually coined this term more than a decade and a half ago. I call it Fostercide, from the death of Vince Foster. So the method of death, which is really complex, and he'd have to be like an athlete, like in the Cirque du Soleil, I call it Fostercide. So they Fostercided Epstein by having him do something that's impossible with the rope and the way he was in that cell, to kill himself, and even the pathologist had said it. So you have to understand, Epstein was not strangled not killed himself with a noose around his neck with improper bed sheets. He was killed because they actually purposely called it a hit on him because they didn't want him to release information about the Clintons. The chief reptile, and that's why the book, The Rules of Radicals, was dedicated to Lucifer and Hillary Clinton, who has literally come to become what's called Lilith, or the incarnation of Satan's cohort on Earth. That's who Hillary Clinton is. She's the highest level female warlock on the planet. You know that, right?
Oh, yes. And there's several organizations that are almost too destructive and too...
And if you don't believe that, if you think that Hillary's smart, the being inside her is very ancient and very intelligent and extremely evil, and it's a Draco-Reptilian monstrosity in the astral realm, and it's inside her being, and it's avataring like she's a video game. How's that?
That's pretty close. Pretty accurate.
And people want to say, Deagle, you're crazy. I said, you know what? You don't have spiritual eyes to see what I see, because I died multiple times, nearly. And God gave me these spiritual eyes, and believe me, it wasn't pleasant to be what I am. As I say, 2 days from now is my DOA day. I wasn't born a nice little boy, 7 pounds, 8 ounces, or whatever, with nice mama and breastfed. I was born dead on arrival. And when I came for my tonsil surgery, I had to be isolated for 3 months, because they thought for sure I bled to death. And I kept at home. So let me tell you, God's had to resurrect me multiple times, because the devil said, I have to shut up that guy or recruit him. So 28 years ago, the Pindar came directly, tried to recruit me to become the Pindar for Earth, for Lucifer. Because he knew what my destiny was. I would bring on programs on people like you that are believers. People like Susan Lindauer said to me, I'm not coming on your show unless you're a believer, Deagle. And guess what I said? I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Lord. God has come into me. He's made me a son again after I did evil. And I told her my story, and she said, oh my gosh, you're a real Christian, aren't you? I said, yeah. And that wasn't easy. When you become a Christian, it's not Milk and Cookie Club, is it? Being a real Christian is like Delta Force. If you think Christianity is easy smeezy, you're not a Christian. How's that?
Okay. Sorry, my daughter is...
I'm going to let you go. I'm going to be gone back in 2 minutes. We're going to go live again. So you stay right there. Don't hang up your phone, okay?
All right.
I'll be right back. Take care.
Okay.
Take care.
Sounds good.